On this week's episode of Crowdfunding Nerds, we talk about direct sales strategy, WooCommerce versus Shopify, direct sales versus distribution. We even cover tips of effective e-commerce marketing with Meta Ads. Let's get into it.
Game begin.
Let's go.
Vegeta, what does the scouter say about his marketing level?
It's over 9,000!
What, 9,000? I must be using Crowdfunding Nerds.
Amazing.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another awesome episode of Crowdfunding Nerds. I am your host, Andrew Lowen, and I am joined, as always, by Sean. What's up, nerd?
Hey. Hello.
Well, now on this week's episode, we wanted to talk about something that was originally inspired by a question in our Crowdfunding Nerds community on Facebook. Somebody, was commenting about last week's podcast and the wonderful talk that we had about Mantis Falls, a game of trust, which I actually have right here because I
bought it. Wow, that came quickly. Yes, you bought it on the podcast, didn't you?
Yeah. So Julie Beerworth was our guest last week, and we talked about that and how she had sold 45,000 copies generally through distribution. And the question that was asked in the Crowdfunding Nerds community related to direct sales. It's like, okay, so you did an episode on distribution stuff, but can you do an episode on direct sales and how to sell your product direct? And it really kind of inspired a lot of thought that I, just how would I advise somebody to go through the and sell direct? What about direct sales is really, really important that I think all of our listeners should know. And there's really a lot there. So that's kind of what we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think someone asked me today, well, this week about Board Game Geek ads. And I know that was part of your strategy. I know that you had particular success with Board Game Geek ads, but I don't think everyone does. So maybe we can dive into a little bit about how other advertising channels can impact your direct sales.
Yes, definitely. Now, I think that part of our discussion will be, maybe like a high level, should you do direct sales and planning? Spoiler alert, yes, you should. But how do you plan to do this? How do you implement? And I think there's a lot of universal truth that, very large clients should also be paying attention, as well as, or very large companies should be paying attention, as well as small people that have yet to actually even have a crowdfunding campaign. Planning is a really important step. When you get to a point where you have games stocked in a warehouse and you're like, all right, now it's time to sell them, you have failed already if you don't have a plan. So there's that. And then the next thing is, so you decide to run ads and you're going to do direct sales. You've planned and whatnot. Now it's time to run ads. It's really a measurement is a very important piece of the puzzle. And I think that's kind of where what Board Game Geek ads, are they worth it? And, a lot of people ask me, are Board Game Geek ads worth it? And if you do them right, I think they very much are. But how do you know? And that's really the question of, you can't sustain something that you're not sure if it's working or not, right? Like you're putting, money's getting charged to your credit card or money's coming out of your bank account. But if you don't know that it's actually bringing more money in than it's costing, you're not going to be able to sustain that. So what I'm saying is like, if you can't measure something, you know that it's not sustainable over the long term. So if you're spending $100 a day or $20 a day, and you're not sure what that's actually bringing for you, that's not sustainable. And thus you're not going to be able to rely on long-term direct sales without measurement and analyzing and whatnot. So I don't know, maybe we can jump into the bird's eye view planning first.
Use Shopify.
Yeah.
That's my advice. If you want to be serious about Facebook ads, Shopify is the way to go. It just has really great integration. It's very simple to track and set up. Every other system that we've used has always been a real pain in the neck to one, get working. And then when you do sort of get semi-working, you're not really sure if it's tracking correctly. So I certainly would recommend if you want to invest into direct sales, then you should set up a Shopify store. And if you plan on using Meta Ads to drive the majority of your sales, then Shopify is certainly the thing to dive into.
Yeah, yeah. And let me digress on that. So it's really Shopify or WooCommerce. Some people use Wix or other platforms. I do not consider them serious contenders for long-term use. I think it comes down to you have a web developer build a WooCommerce store and a WordPress website, or you use a Shopify site. And the major factors that you want to consider are the speed of the loading speed of your site. If your website is slow, it doesn't matter how great your product is, you will lose, you'll lose most people. If it takes 8 seconds to load, but it's the coolest product in the world, then it just isn't going to matter very much.
Speed and clicks.
There's a stat. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, it needs to be light and fast. Shopify by default is very light and very, very fast. So, WordPress takes a lot of, or WordPress and WooCommerce takes a lot of effort to make fast. And, like you said, there are other
things can go wrong with it.
Right. Like even with Deliverance, we're trying to figure out how to make our Facebook pixel accurate for the right metrics. How do I know when somebody purchased? How do I know, you know, how much that was for and so on? That is a lot easier to track with Shopify. So for, I would say 90% maybe or more of the people listening to this, Shopify is the system that you should use. The downsides of Shopify are that it costs monthly. Everybody needs to pay for hosting. So if you're, you know, if you've got a WordPress and WooCommerce website, you're probably paying around $20 a month for hosting. Generally, you're going to pay something at least that much for Shopify. It'll go to like $100 a month pretty quickly because it is, you know, if you want it to be good and fast and all of that, it costs. It's expensive. Another downside is that Shopify owns Shopify websites. So you don't own the website technically. And so if you stop paying or whatever, they can shut it off and delete all your stuff. And that's their right. That's not really something I expect to come up a whole lot, but that is something that's true. Now, the last thing that I consider a negative with Shopify is that if you want to upgrade with plugins, they do have plugins and they work very nicely. They all cost a monthly fee. So using something like Klaviyo, which is a very advanced email marketing system with WordPress and WooCommerce, is way cheaper than using with Shopify. So just some examples, some things to be aware of. If you use WordPress and WooCommerce, just have a web developer, focus on speed, and be prepared to deal with all sorts of other problems. Most people are not really prepared to do that. They want to build a website themselves and whatnot, and Shopify is the site for that.
Yeah, you really want to also try copy Amazon and limit the clicks. I know with some WooCommerce themes, they can introduce a lot of clicks. Like you put in your email, next. Then you have to put in your address, next. Then you put in your card details, next. Yeah. You really want a single screen where all the information can be put in, and then they just hit one button, check out, purchase. So you want to limit those clicks. You know, sometimes they have like individual screens, and that's just it's a nightmare to kind of work through and track that stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll also mention one other thing that Shopify has going for it is they have an abandoned shopping cart email, which, you know, the abandoned cart recovery with Shopify is pretty good. They recover on average 7% of the carts that are abandoned. And that is something you have to set up with WordPress. But also, a lot of the time with WordPress, when you set everything to one page, you don't get the email until the final page. So your abandoned shopping cart, it gets abandoned, but there's no contact detail to, you know, unless somebody has registered already and is buying a second time, you don't get an email. So you have to specifically set up your WordPress WooCommerce website to capture the email before asking somebody to finish the checkout process so that you can send them an abandoned shopping cart email. And Shopify has all of that integrated. So there's just another kind of mark in Shopify's, or another feather in Shopify's cap. That said, I use WordPress and WooCommerce because we have a team that's able to do that. It's the decision we've made for now. So,
and another cool thing is that once you have set up your store, you can connect it with the Meta ad account through the API, and you can create what's known as a Facebook shop and a catalog, which means you can sell directly on Facebook and Instagram. So this is a great way to make sales. We've done this with Deliverance, where we retarget folks who have visited the site and say, oh, by the way, so, you know, stock's running out because we have limited, and then they can purchase right there on Facebook because it's all connected. So they just put in their card details and bang, it gets shipped out to them. So that they don't even have to leave the app. So that's a huge advantage of using either Shopify or WordPress, and then eventually setting up what's known as your Meta store and a catalog. Mm-hmm. It opens up the opportunities of what you can do. And even the abandoned cart, we can retarget folks. Even if you don't capture an email, we can retarget folks who have initiated a checkout or have added to cart, but then who haven't purchased. And then we can send them. We need to create little animations for that work quite well. It's like, by the way, your shop is it. Don't forget to check out. You kind of make it fun.
Yep.
And it's just a nice little reminder for people. And those can be very lucrative, those kind of recovery ads. And I find you don't have to spend more than $2 a day into them because you can exhaust them pretty quickly. So it's really just a way to remind folks that it's there, but you can get some crazy return on ad spend, like 20x on those, because you're paying such a little amount just to kind of get people off the edge. And it'd be a great way to kind of capture people who fall through the cracks.
Yeah. So now we've talked a little bit about infrastructure. I actually think this is really important, because if you want to sell direct, you can't have a bad site experience. It's going to really, really harm any effort that you put forth to, you know, for direct sales.
And we at Crowdfunding Nerds build websites. So get in touch if you want us to build you a website. We can do that.
Yeah. We typically are pretty bottlenecked with websites, web design, that kind of thing. But we can, you know, plan out and make room for web designs. So anyway, the main thing is that your infrastructure needs to be good, because if you spend $100 in Facebook or wherever, then you need to try to get the maximum return out of that money. And if you have a good website experience versus a poor one, it's going to make a big difference. So it's not all about targeting the right people and spending enough money and you know, making the right ads and having a good landing page experience and whatever. But if your system, if the infrastructure is not well set up to take, for example, like one of the big things that we did with Deliverance was that we planned for hundreds of people per day to visit the website. I needed our hosting to be able to handle a large influx of traffic, because once we actually released, you know, thousands of games into, you know, to our player base, people would talk about it, and then we would start running ads at the same time and all of that. We also happened to hit number one on BoardGameGeek for 9 days in December, which is Q4, you know, one of the big months for purchasing. That all of that combined, if we weren't prepared with that infrastructure, our website would have slowed down if we had 20 people on it or 30 people at the same time. And that would have just been a really terrible user experience for everybody, resulting in lower sales. But because we had a good experience, we were selling, you know, 20 or more products every day, and it was, you know, it was an excellent experience for everybody. Okay, so now infrastructure, that's something to consider.
To something I want to bring up as well. So why use your own shop? Why use Shopify, or as you've spoken about, all WooCommerce on your own domain, on your own shop? Why not use something like GameFound and just have everything up on GameFound, or just keep your, you know, BackerKit Pledge Manager open? Yeah. The reason I would suggest having your own website is to do with how Meta tracks. If you plan on using Meta ads to drive sales, it's really important that your tracking is really solidified. Shopify makes it super easy. Literally, you push a button, log in, and it's done.
Yeah.
And everything works perfectly. With Meta, you have to verify your domain with Meta, and that basically gives you permission to use it. The problem with something like GameFound is that you don't own that domain. GameFound does.
Right.
And if you send traffic or through Meta ads to GameFound, if someone purchases anything on the site, it will register as a purchase within the back end of Meta. So this becomes really problematic when you try to, one, optimize your ads for conversions, mm-hmm. and work out a return. So you're sort of using GameFound or these other systems, you're sort of using a mix between looking at referral codes you've generated, which don't always work, And then also kind of looking at the total sales and then trying to work out if you're making sales, because it's basically impossible to track within the actual system itself. Right. I think the other disadvantage of using something like GameFound or these other systems is that when you're paying people to go to your site to purchase your things, what you don't want them to do is go to, for example, GameFound. I don't want to pick on GameFound, but just it's a handy example. If someone goes to GameFound and then scrolls to the bottom, they're going to be recommended other products, products that that you don't profit from, but GameFound does. And that's a huge disadvantage when you're trying to make sales, and you possibly could be sending folks to other pages. Now you could say, well, the advantage is if other people are trying to advertise on GameFound, they could possibly see your stuff as well. So yes, that is a possibility. But really, when you are trying to work out the maximum dollar in, dollar out input output of your ad spend, you really want to make sure the tracking is as precise as possible. And this is really important when you want to start scaling and you want to start spending, thousands of dollars a month on your Facebook ads. Maybe you have a large catalog at some point, then you really want to be serious about, really fine tuning those numbers, making sure that you're keeping track of those things, which is pretty much impossible to do on these other systems and sites. That's why I recommend that you have your own website that's connected to Shopify or to WooCommerce. And then I think it also looks more professional if it's, your own site. It's kind of, I think it sort of enhances the view or quality of your brand. But I think that's important mentioning, because it's something that people might not think about.
Yeah. There are systems that allow you to use like Hive, which we love using. Hive Pledge Manager is an amazing system that you can actually set up second wave shipping and other things like that. I still think that it's important to brand yourself, though. It's important to brand yourself. It's important to have a website that can act kind of as a hub or resource for your games. And there are awesome things about pledge managers like BaggerKit or Hive that, I really like, but I don't see them as a long-term solution. And again, it's you're basically tying yourself in forever to those companies. And if anything goes wrong or changes with those companies, then you are also in the same, you're also experiencing the same problems.
Yeah, or have and both, so, right? So if someone does a Google search and then they're going to find, the GameFound or Hive listing, and they're going to find your website, and they're going to find it on Amazon. So I suppose the more places you can be, the easier it is for people to purchase, then that's a win-win.
Yeah. So I think that, if you're going to go this direct sales route, you want to have your website act as a resource hub for players. If somebody wants to learn how to play the game, there should be a page on your website dedicated to that. That's also linked in your rule book. That's maybe even QR coded on various places, like your, anywhere you market, anywhere you you have videos online, you should be linking to how to play. People shouldn't be Googling or checking out YouTube for a how to play video. They should see that there's an easy link everywhere, and it should go to your website so that you can actually adjust those videos. If you created a homemade one and then you update it later, it's the same link that, they go to the same page on your website, they learn how to play. For Deliverance, we have two articles that are really, really important. It's like 5 ways to make your first play more awesome of Deliverance. That was an article that we wrote. And it was related to trying to help new players actually open the box. And then there's another one that was like, that we did, which was like 5 tips to increase your skill at Deliverance, because the game is hard. And so we found players would constantly be like, oh, I just got stomped in my first game, and how do you even win this and whatever. And so it's like, that is an easy share that comes from our website that, is a hub that people can actually find, that we've linked various places so that players can, without actually reaching out on social media, they can find these things. And, or maybe they learn, they ask, or they look for how to play. They go to our website, they see the rule book the rules overview video, but then they also see these articles that are, 5 ways to make your first play more awesome, and 5 tips to get to increase your skill. They read those things without my input, because it's all there, because the website is a hub for for this game. You know, you want to learn about the characters and other things like that. You want to learn about me as like the creator. You can do that. And it's, I think, really, really important to have a central place, a central location that you bring all your people. So then let's get into, like, from a bird's eye view, why go direct sales? What do I want you to have as a direct sales? Like, so as a marketer, I'll give you my, I guess like a short list of things that I think you should have as a company. I think at least 10% of your sales need to be direct to customer. If you're not selling at least 10% of your stock direct to your customers, then you have way too much tied into typically, you know, distribution. I will also say, you know, crowdfunding, let's separate out Kickstarter, GameFound, BackerKit, you know, crowdfunding from direct sales, because that's a particular type of direct sales where a lot of companies make all their money from crowdfunding. And then in order to make more money, they need to go back and launch a second project. That is a way that some companies sustain, but it's not, it runs into the same problems that just exclusively using distribution runs into, is that if anything changes, you are subject to the maximum amount of pain. If crowdfunding is negatively impacted and all you're using is crowdfunding, then that's very painful. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to separate that out from direct sales. So what do I mean by direct sales? I mean, people that go direct to your website and buy a product direct from your website. This can also be your Amazon listing that, that you manage yourself or whatever. So this is what I mean by direct sales. And I say 10% is a minimum number that I would advise every company, no matter their size, they should be aiming for at least that amount in direct sales. And my personal goal would be 20 to 30% if you are, so this assumes that you have other sales channels. Now, the person that asked us in the in our crowdfunders community that kind of inspired this episode, he, I'm assuming, is going to get 100% of his sales through a combination of crowdfunding and then direct sales, not in distribution, you know, small operation, hoping to launch maybe a first or second or third Kickstarter, and maybe he'll get to sell other products in those Kickstarters. But at the end of the day, you know, after the Kickstarter campaigns are finished, rather months later, you know, he's going to have product in a warehouse that he needs to, that he's responsible for moving. And direct sales is perceived probably as the only reliable way for that, for this person to actually move that product. So that's a little bit of a, maybe more people listening to this podcast will be in that situation where they don't have the luxury of having a product that is highly desired, that is in distribution and making regular sales, like, you know, Julie Beerworth with Manus Falls or, you know, that kind of thing. Then, you know, there are other groups of people that have products in distribution or maybe have products that did well that they're looking to kind of continue that tale. So I don't know if that frames it well enough, but that's kind of where my brain is operating.
So we should probably also talk about price points. I know in, for example, in Deliverance, you're planning on creating a game that is at a lower price point. I think when it comes to direct sales, particularly using Meta, the price point's really important because buyer intention is important where mm-hmm. people are. With people who are perusing Facebook, they're not really in buyer mode. They're more in content curation mode. They're trying to find new things. So trying to make a sale through Facebook can be challenging if your price point is $200. You know, people aren't just going to drop that nilly-willy. Yeah. They're going to do a lot of research. And then again, you know, it might take them 2 weeks to make a purchase. And that becomes harder to track if they're making purchases that are delayed. Well, something that is a smaller price point, it's easier to track. It's easier to make those conversions. And most of your conversions will happen through some type of retargeting. So that's important to keep in mind. So really trying to get people in at a low point and then retarget them with, oh, by the way, you know, you can add dice to this or whatever. Is super important. Yep. So, Adj, I don't know if you want to talk about your thoughts with Deliverance and creating a lower price point for your game and then using that in your e-commerce direct sales strategy.
Sure. So there are a couple of main, like major reasons that customers will not buy something that they intend to buy, that but they don't buy it right now. So they go to your website and then they see the price of the product. They're like, okay, I've heard about this thing and it looks fun, but if it's $90, that's a different decision than if it's 20. If it's 20, I'll probably just, you know, jump on it because I feel like grabbing it. And even though, you know, like for example, my purchase of Mantis Falls, the price was low enough that I could just, you know, jump on it. And if I end up not playing it for the next 3 months, like that's not a problem because if I know I'll eventually get to it. You know, but something like a Deliverance, which is $99, I'm not going to buy it if I don't want to play it right now. Like one of the things that I would love to buy right now is Chip Theory Games, Too Many Bones. I would really, really like to buy that, but it's expensive. And I already have the Elder Scrolls that's coming eventually. You know, maybe it's a year, 2 years down the road. But I'm trying in my head to kind of justify, should I pay over $100 for this thing when I'm getting a better version of that thing in about a year or not? So, you know, I'm kind of, it's a much longer decision to actually get to a point where I'm ready to say, yes, I'm going to buy this big product. And that's not a deal breaker for direct sales. It just means that your customer has a longer decision-making process before they actually buy. So when your first Facebook ads start running or Google ads or BoardGameGeek ads, you don't make any sales the first day. Don't get discouraged. 3 weeks later, somebody could actually buy something that found it on that first day, which is what we find our average sale cycle with Deliverance and Fans when we're running ads is like 3 weeks. It's actually two to three weeks. So, which I can talk about in greater detail, but in general, the lower the price point, the easier the decision. And the higher the price point, the more competition you have as far as like the big games that are at a big price point. If you're going to buy this big game, then might as well think about the other big games that rival it. Whereas something that's like $50, there are a million games that are $50. So you're not really thinking about a particular game, you know, Catan or Ticket to Ride or you know, that's behind me, Chronicles of Crime.
Yeah, it's within that impulse buy range, right? Where you don't, it's pricey enough to make a profit from, but it's not so pricey that people are going to sit down and really kind of work out and, you know, look at it. It's most people say, oh, okay, I'm okay spending $50 to $60 for this game. And boom, they buy it. And that's kind of why we used to recommend that lower price point for selling. And I think a great example of everything we're talking about is Modiphius Entertainment. Go look at Modiphius.net or Modiphius.us and go look at their e-commerce store. They crush it. They do such a great job with their e-commerce. And they're a great example of having lots of different products at lots of different price points. And they've got a mix between their own games and games that they license and games that they have various IPs belonging to them and not belonging to them. So I think they do a really great job of diversifying their catalog, whilst also diversifying their price points. You can buy, you know, big chunky board games for $200 with all the bits and pieces, or you can buy a set of minis for, you know, $20. So it's all there.
Yep. Now, one of the things that I find, and you asked about our lower price point for our base game. So I'm working through manufacturing quotes right now. It'll either be $59 or $69 for our base game. And then the deluxe, so I made a deluxe game that was like 5 inches tall and almost like a foot square, fits inside a Calyx and everything, but it's a $99 game. So I'm actually taking that exact thing with the inserts inside it, and I'm taking the bottom two inserts and putting five angels in there out of the nine and splitting the content into from like the base game to the deluxe upgrade, we'll say, or like an expansion that adds new characters and whatnot, but and also the angel minis and everything. And so the base game is at the moment planned to be 59, and then, which is a really important price point, I think 59 is the new 49, due to inflation and all of that. But then the expansion, we'll say I call it the deluxe upgrade, but it's really an expansion that when you combine these two things gives you the deluxe game in two boxes. That's going to be 39. So I want to reach more people, and I'm going to do that through a $59 price tag. It's much more of a commodity at that point. I'm going to be able to sell it a lot easier, and I'm going to also be able to use that price point to upsell people a lot easier, as you said. So I will create bundles on our website that will have the Deliverance Deluxe bundle, and it's going to have both those products. It would be, I think, $59.39. It's like $108. We will mark it down to $99 so that people can bundle both those products in their cart and purchase them at a discounted price. That's another thing that's going to make people jump on it. Then we've got add-ons. We'll do an add-on bundle, which might come, if you combine all of them, we'll discount it slightly. We'll do the all-in bundle, which will be, at a slight discount as well. And part of this, it will help people. So you've got what I call the loss leader. At $59, I need to sell a lot of that in order to stay in business. But through upsells, I can get one customer to pay twice that much and feel like they're getting great value, or three times that much and feel like they're getting great value. And that makes ads very, very profitable. So the key, I think, is to have a loss leader that people can buy, because a lot of people pay $59, gift it to a friend or family member, and that family member plays, loves it, and they're like, what other content's available? If there's content available, they will buy it, right? They'll buy the add-on package, the deluxe upgrade, the expansion, and so on. If the introduction is the $99 price point, then it's going to be a lot harder to start that cycle. So you're going to be able to upsell, and people are going to be happy to pay you for a product that they really like, that they would have never tried if it was more expensive, right? So that's kind of the mindset behind Deliverance.
I've got an example, real world example of.
I feel like you're thinking about the CIA or something.
No, it's this idea of the lost lead. This week or last week, Medivius were coming to the end of one of their
Spectre
licenses, Spectre. Yes, their board game, their James Bond board game, and they really had a clearance sale, and they basically were selling the game at $5. £5, you could get the game. And that brought a lot of traffic to the site. And
it ranked top on Board Game Geek and everything.
It did. Ranked top on Board Game Geek. It brought in a lot of new faces to the website. And even though they weren't making money through selling that, because they were just trying to clear the stock because their license was running out and they didn't want to pay warehousing, it was profitable, even though they just were basically selling at a loss. And that's what a lost lead is. So it stocked a lot, it shelved a lot of, removed a lot of units from the stock. I can't remember how much they said, how many they sold. It was a large quantity. It was in the thousands of units they sold, because I met with them this week. And it generated nice profits for the website because it brought lots of new faces and lots of people in. And then another thing is you're capturing all that purchase data, right? We can then, even if it's new people who are just jumping on a deal, we can then target them later with, oh, by the way, you know that you've purchased with Medivius already. They've got this new thing out and you might be interested in this. And so it sort of feeds the entire system. And it's probably something I want to talk about as well, is setting up your ads with Meta Ads for e-commerce with direct sales. You kind of want to have a funnel system in place with what we really have variations of prospecting, which is finding new folks who've never, ever had any touch points with your brand or who you are. And then various forms of retargeting. We've talked a little bit about this, about retargeting abandoned to cart. But where we see that the biggest return on investment is retargeting past purchases. So people who've purchased with you once are more likely to purchase with you in the future. And this is again where it comes down to having a large catalog, because if people can buy, Deliverance from Low End Games, but then you have an expansion and you have this other game from Low End Games and, all these other things, then they're more likely to keep on buying your things.
Yes, definitely. And I think that we've seen it's a lot easier to sustain your company with more products than it is with just one product.
Yes.
And that's one thing I think I fight like an uphill battle with Deliverance as a new company. You know, we are practically sold out of the game. I mean, it's a great one. People liked it. And it also has a very super duper thematic appeal to the right group of people. You know, it's basically an instant purchase for a Christian D&D player. They're like, all right, yep, that's all the things I like. I'm buying this. I think that there are, you know, many different types of games have, you know, just a hardcore target market that really, really loves a particular thing, you know. And so I think that that's probably one of the biggest things to consider is if the game is just not very thematically interesting, it's going to be hard to get people to buy it unless there are great reviews about it or something like that. And you know, and if it's your only product, but if you have multiple products on your website, it's going to be a lot easier to get them to, you bring someone in for one product, they end up seeing a couple, or they end up getting free shipping if they spend over $75. So might as well add this extra thing because I'm curious about it. Mm-hmm. It's just something that, like I said, in relation to Deliverance, because it's our only title, we do have add-ons, which are actually all sold out. We have nothing except for the base game. And I think we might only have the base game in the US at this point, under 100 units of it. But that's the challenge, I think, is like, you know, we've seen, you know, many companies come and run ads and with one product on their website, they have to make money with this one product, and it's hard. But then other companies come in and they've got, you know, a line of products, and it gets a lot easier to just, you know, increase the trends or the number of, or the average dollar sale with mm-hmm. the same amount of transactions. And it's, makes ads much more profitable mm-hmm. and sustainable in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's what we often see with, we even have special pricing for first time publishers. You only have one game, because usually these are folks who have been with us for their pre-marketing, their live campaign, their late pledge, and now they want to go to e-commerce. So we give them a special pricing discount. And another reason is it's hard to make those types of e-commerce, prolonged e-commerce accounts profitable because they only have one game. So really it's for folks coming in, yes or no, do I want this now or not? So making sales can be quite challenging. So we even offer special pricing for first-time publishers. You only have a single game for this very reason.
Right. And again, you said it, it's all about being sustainable. So with direct sales, it's easy to, you know, turn on ads, make some sales, but how do you do that for months and years? You know, that's kind of what we're talking about. So I told everybody on this that's listening to this podcast why you should, you know, that I believe you should make direct sales 10 to 30% of your general sales. And I never really talked about why though. You know, why should my direct sales be 10 to 30%? And bottom line, you want to future proof yourself. I kind of alluded to it before, but if there are, you know, if distribution goes through another 2020, then you will hamstring the amount of sales you can make. But everybody that was on Amazon at that time did incredibly well. So the challenges I find of, market conditions, market, shenanigans are going to be, sometimes balanced against your maybe one method of selling is unaffected by those things. And that is really, really important. So we're talking about sustainability as a company. If all your eggs are in one basket and that basket starts to falter, your company will start to falter. So direct sales, I will say, is probably one of the most stable methods of selling. It allows a company to make the greatest margin from their product. It allows a company to expose their product to new people that might not otherwise be exposed to it, and that kind of thing. So even within direct sales, it's not just selling online. Like there are other ways to do it, like going to conventions, meeting people and selling direct there, which we can kind of get into. But the why behind direct sales and why you should, you know, care about direct sales is because you future-proof your company, you increase the longevity of your company, and you'll actually find more people that want your stuff. So, you know, you'll travel in more circles through direct sales. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Sean.
No, I think I've sort of covered everything that comes to mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think the importance of being able to track what you're doing is going to be important for scaling. Because if you want to start spending, you know, thousands of dollars on your advertising because you've got a really stellar product, you can't do that unless you can really work out that by investing that amount that it will be profitable. And maybe one thing we should probably just touch on is that we find with scaling meta ads in particular, it's always best done incrementally. If you just suddenly jump up, you can often pay too much for your placements. So you want to always do it with the results, scale with the results, do it gradually, and go from there.
That's a good point. And actually, to contrast that with Google Ads, you know, we're working with clients that run Google Ads, and you don't scale those incrementally, do you? It's like you have to jump with Google Ads. You put an amount down, and you have to sustain that for at least a week in order to see if it's working. Whereas Meta, you can get an idea, you know, relatively quickly, and it's a much different algorithm, much different machine than Meta, isn't it?
Yeah, a different user base as well in terms of their buyer intention. Google's far more people searching to make purchases, so the buyer intent is much higher. So, different approach.
Yeah, you kind of have to divide the people that are looking for information on Google from the people that are looking to purchase, because sometimes you can spend a lot of money on somebody looking for information. You know, I mean, you can get a lot of clicks from people looking for information that aren't yet ready to buy. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to your product page, it's not going to result in great numbers. And so it's interesting, very interesting. User intent is really, really important on Google. And whereas like on Amazon, it's fairly obvious that they're planning on buying something. So the user intent is always to purchase. When somebody's searching a keyword on Amazon, it's always to purchase. At least to consider purchasing, to see what options there are so they can purchase the best one or the cheapest one or the one with highest rating or whatever. On Facebook, the buyer intent is also fairly clear, which is that they're not interested in purchasing per se. They're interested in gathering information and just they're kind of maybe blowing off some steam or whatever. But it's always like the what's that? Well, I call it what's that or shiny rock. You know, you've got this shortcut to buyer, you know, buyers take this shortcut rather than using their neocortex and rational thought. They'll actually just say, oh, well, what's that? And then all of a sudden they were, you know, spying on their friends and you know, about to argue politics with someone. But now they're very interested in this little new rabbit hole of what is Deliverance or, you know, whatever product it is. And that's, so I feel like that is fairly consistent with people, you know, who've sold t-shirts, like As Seen on TV products, Shark Tank type products. We've sold board games and RPGs and tons of other things, you know. And I think that the buyer intent of Google is most curious. So I guess maybe to wrap, I think there are some companies that do a really, really great job with direct sales. I always point to Chip Theory Games with this, because they do not have generally, I mean, they've had experiences where their products like Too Many Bones is very popular. I mentioned it earlier. That product, they did a version that made it into retail, specifically for retail. But Chip Theory Games makes their products like so high quality that they couldn't really afford to make them at prices that would be anything other than direct sales. So they're not making 5-to-1 or 6-to-1 on the, you know, landed cost of their product. They are making less than that, but they can do it because direct sales, you keep the highest percentage of profit. If you make 5-to-1 or 6-to-1 You know, what I mean by that is like if a product costs $10 and you sell it for $50, then if you sell that direct, you're making $40, you know, minus your advertising costs and the cost of running your company. But if you sell that like through distribution, you have to sell it to a distributor at 60% off. So you might sell a much greater volume of product, which is why you would want to use a distributor. That's why Mantis Falls is crushing it. But you might make $10. You know, it's $50 product, 60% off. You've got $20 of stuff of money to divide up between the yourself and then the manufacturing cost and the cost of freight it over. So $10 is a much lower number to run your company. And so if you can increase direct sales, you can make, I mean, the you know, selling one game direct is the equivalent of selling, you know, 3-4 games to distribution. And so it's a lot easier to sell one thing than four things. And so that's kind of where I think Chip Theory Games really, really shines, because they have, they're probably, as I kind of consider it, the largest board game publisher that is, that really focuses on direct sales. So they use Kickstarter and crowdfunding. They go to conventions and sell direct to customers that are there. And then they also sell direct on their website, and they have email lists and other things like that. We should probably get them on our podcast at some point to talk about that direct sales strategy. So if you're listening to this, Chip Theory Games team, like, you know, we want to interview you. And then I think Stonemaier Games does a really great job of being diversified. So Stonemaier Games, they used to use Kickstarter, and now they don't. What they do now is they issue pre-orders. They make a huge print run. You know, they made a huge print run of Wormspan, for example. 100,000 units is what they made. And they are going to absolutely sell out all of them. But they allocated a certain amount for retail and distribution, and they allocated the rest for direct sales and customer pre-orders. And then they ran a pre-order on their website. They maintain a very large email list, which if they were maintaining the number of Kickstarter followers or the number of GameFound followers, they would not be able to do. So, you know, consider that if you plan on being a long-term sustainable, you know, business owner, you know, you would definitely want to have your own email list. Then they use Stonemaier Champions, which is a cool program. They have a lot of different programs to encourage people to buy direct. But I'll say the final thing that I really want to encourage you guys with in regard to direct sales is that advertising direct to your customer, and this is something I found with Deliverance as well, advertising direct to your customer gets retailers wanting to buy your product, because customers will see your ad. They'll walk into their local game store and say, do you have this product for sale? Can you get this product? And the retailer will say, I don't know. Let me check it out. And they'll do the legwork, contact you, and want to buy units. Selling direct to a retailer is, you know, you sell it at half off and, you know, plus some shipping, but then you're still making a better margin than if you sold at 60% off to a distributor who would then sell to a retailer. So, and retailers, a lot of them do like to buy direct from publishers. So I find that to be very interesting. But in our run, you know, running ads, it was so we started selling a lot of product to customers, and then we had a lot of retailers start to reach out to us and say, hey, you have this product, can we buy 6 units, or can you send us your retailer rate sheet or whatever? And that was specifically because we were selling direct to customers. And so I think that with, you know, through running ads on BoardGameGeek, which is where some of our retailers said, like, yeah, we look at BoardGameGeek ads and we look for products to buy from the BoardGameGeek ads, which is one thing I thought was really cool. So if you have a product that is direct sale, like, you know, direct to customer, can ship in 2 to 5 days, BoardGameGeek ads can actually do really well for you. So anyway, I thought I would share that. And maybe like a last thing, because you know, we brought it up earlier, is the average Deliverance customer that just sees the product for the first time on Facebook ads or something, you know, maybe like a reviewer video, they take 2 to 3 weeks of time to reviews. So what they'll do is they will join our social media, which is where I ask them, hey, how did you hear about Deliverance? And they say, oh, I saw it on an ad, or I saw it, Alex at Board Game Co. reviewed it, and you know, that kind of thing. So I'll find out where they found us. I'll ask them, do you have the game, or, you know, they're like, oh no, I'm considering it. And they ask lots of questions. They, or maybe people that buy tell us, oh yeah, I have been interested in this game for a long time, but one of my challenges with the game is X, Y, or Z. I wanted to have these questions answered before I, you know, commit. So that's something that I think is very, you know, very cool to learn, but something to encourage you guys. If you turn on Facebook ads and people aren't buying right away, then, you know, it might be that they're doing research. And if you have no review videos out there, if you have no how to play videos and whatnot, there's nothing to research. So you have to get that stuff out there, right? So any final thoughts, Sean, before we wrap this one?
Nope. I think that's covered the issue.
Awesome. Very good. So hopefully, Mr. Dude from Crowdfunding Nerds community that asked this question, you appreciate this. Robot Richard, send us on out.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Crowdfunding Nerds. For more resources, articles, and to listen to past podcasts, please visit us at crowdfundingnerds.com. And if you have a crowdfunding question, we also have a page on our site where you can send a message directly to us. Please visit crowdfundingnerds.com/question. And if your question is a great question, we may include it in a future podcast. Thank you all again for listening to this week's episode, and we'll see you next week. Stay nerdy.